Good morning. Welcome to church this fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday before we celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. And our announcements, well, first I'll read. The wise men found God because their hearts were willing to follow a star. The shepherds found God because their hearts were willing to seek afar. And we can find God because he is willing to come to us where we are. May you feel his presence in this hour, and may his love touch you as we worship him together. First thing is, of course, the ritual friendship cards in back of the pews. If need be, fill them out. If you're a visitor, please fill them out. It's nice to know if someone comes to visit us that we can contact, or just to know that you're here. If there's any prayer requests that you may have, you can put those on the ritual friendship cards, and then we'll see that that's taken care of. It's quite helpful to Reverend Stillwell. Now, on the back of the bulletins are the announcements. The calendar, of course, that's Reverend Stillwell's office hours. And Wednesday at 7 p.m. is the Christmas Eve service. It's the candlelight service, and it is beautiful. So if you can make it, please be here. And of work day, Tuesday, December. Oops, that's not this Sunday. This Tuesday. No work day. Junior youth group today will meet after the tasting party. And the upper room, the small booklet is for a January and February issue. They are on the table in back of the sanctuary at the cost of $1.25. Judy has some announcements. She'd like to come up and give them. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. Just wanted to thank all of you who took time to send a 90th birthday card to Harry McDowell. I was over there yesterday. He's doing great. He really appreciated it, and he had a wonderful birthday. So thank you. He's going to try to come Christmas Eve if Connie's able to get him here. So maybe we'll all get to see him. Lloyd Richter, somebody took his coat home, a black men's jacket, and their jacket is hanging in the dining room. So if you accidentally took Lloyd's coat home, your coat is here still. We have Christmas gifts for all the children today, and that is from the little ones up through senior high school. I'll be passing them out in the nursery and in junior church. So if you are older than that or in another venue, please let me know and come to me, and I have your treat for you. And we also have the monetary gifts for the employees today, and we'll be presenting those in the tasting party later. So if you'd like to contribute to that and you haven't yet, please see me. Jackie Henry, our secretary, is quite ill and not here today. I just wanted to let you know, but thank you.
Thanks, Judy. Speaking of Harry, on his birthday, they had a big cake for him at Stickles Snack Bar. Of course, I get down there pretty much three or four times a week to, have breakfast and see everybody. And Harry, his daughter Connie, brought a big cake in the day before and brought him down about 8:30 Thursday morning. That was his birthday. And it was quite a neat thing to do. And we didn't break bread together, but we broke cake together. So it was great. And he seemed in good spirits. And, of course, his like we all say, where'd the time go? He says, it's 90 years. He said, I look back and just went like that. I said, yeah, Harry. Well, we know that for a fact that that's pretty much, as you get older, it does go awfully fast. So it was a nice get-together with Harry. And so hopefully he does make it on Christmas Eve service. So thank you very much. Are there any other announcements?
Cheryl? Yes, I have two announcements.
Okay, Cheryl. Any other announcements? Welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Let us spend a moment in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship him. Now the community comes together to serve God in worship. The opening hymn is in the Chalice Hymnal and has number 119, O Come, Emmanuel. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Let us come to God's light. Let us bow now for the opening prayer, followed by the Lord's Prayer. This is a season of light, and on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we honor the light of the world. Brighten every corner of our lives, we pray, and bring illumination to the dark recesses of our souls. Open our eyes to the truth, and lead us on the path to the city where there is no more darkness, and where the Son of God lives, gives light and life forever. Let us say the Lord's Prayer in unison. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Now we'll have the lighting of the Advent candle. It doesn't matter who you are, where you live, or how much you make. Christ is coming. God is coming. The holy babe will be born even from the line of David, with all of its troubled families and impact fractures, characters. God will draw us together into the family and bring peace. In a day and age where you can barely guess at what what true peace would be, a world without war, where resources were plentiful, where neighbors allowed each other grace, and where families would be safe, come God and be our shepherd. Bring peace, our lives in our hands. Let us pray. Help us, God, to be a peace-loving people. Give us the patience to deal with those we disagree and who do not understand. Help us to stay focused on the lives you would have us live instead of lives of self-interest. Prepare us to welcome the Prince of Peace as a fresh start. Transform us into the peaceful and loving people you created us to be. Amen. We light these four candles as a prayer for peace. May peace that passes all understanding come into our lives and into our world. Community comes together to share tithes and offerings. During this season of gift giving, let us not neglect to give to Christ, whose birthday we celebrate. The offertory hymn and the chalice hymnal number 149, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
We present these gifts to you, Christ Jesus, not because you need them, but because we wish for the good news of your birth to be proclaimed throughout the world. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. First scripture reading this morning is 2 Samuel chapter 7, that's verses 1 through 11 and also verse 16. That's in the Old Testament on page 281 in your pew Bibles. Here begins the reading. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I command to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of earth, and I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more, and evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly. From the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all of your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. The word of the Lord. Praise be to God. The anthem this morning by the Sanctuary Choir is Child of Love. Thank you. Thank you.
morning. Welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville this fourth and final Sunday of Advent. We rejoice that as we prepare to celebrate the birth of the Christ child, that our choir did as the angels did 2,000 years ago and praised God in singing. Because in many ways, singing is the best way to praise God. It is the way that our spirits soar. It is the way that we recreate the wonder and the joy that God has given us. And today, there will be a great deal of singing in our service. In addition to the wonderful singing the choir gives us every week, our children will be singing soon, our kids' club choir and our junior choir. And then later on today, our friend Armando will be sharing his gift of song with us at the end of the service. And if you like that, I do invite you to come back on Wednesday at 7 o'clock for our Christmas Eve service, where again there will be singing by the choir and singing by the junior choir, and Don and Ken and Bruce are putting together a brass ensemble. They'll be playing. It'll be a wonderful evening filled with music and singing the proper way to bring in the Christmas season, the celebration of God's greatest gift to us. As we gather this morning, we want to lift up these thanksgivings. We also want to lift up our concerns and our prayers. I've had a few people ask me to lift up people in prayer. Peggy Harvey was feeling sick today, so she wasn't able to come, but she asked that we pray for her neighbor, Jesse Zitney, who is also feeling under the weather. Jesse Zitney. Also been asked to pray by Don Witt for one of his former students, a man, a 20-year-old named Zach Butts, who has very high blood pressure. So much so that they're looking into possibly surgeries or other type of solutions. So let us pray for Zach. We've also been asked to pray for Denise Ullery, who has had a heart attack and dealing with stomach pains and has been having a very difficult time of it. Let us pray for her. We also rejoice at the good news received that Butch Basinger will be coming home from the hospital. That's the grandpap of Sierra Madison, and he was in the hospital this week, very serious condition, but he is doing better, and they will be getting the Christmas present of his return, and I know that they are very happy about that. What other joys and concerns do you have to share this morning? Don. Do rejoice on that good news as well. Thank you for sharing that about Jody. Almost totally recovered. That's great. Yes, Jane?
Reverend Chris, it's the honor to do a Bible study here, and several of the ladies who are in my group belong to local Catholic churches. And I'm getting another Bible study with them. So I put a card on your desk. They made a monetary donation again this year to the church, just as a way of saying thank you that they're able to come here and study with us and be a part of this church. So I wanted to make that announcement.
Thank you, and that's a wonderful joy, too, the way the churches come together to further the kingdom. Ben, your dad's coming home on the 24th. We rejoice with you and pray for his safe travel. Give thanks for him. Thank you for sharing that good news. Are there any others? Wanda? We will continue to pray for Kelly and hope that things get better for her, and also that'll be a wonderful Christmas present for her family. As we mentioned before, I saw Harry McDowell. He's doing great at 90 years old. We give thanks for that. And also saw Lena Hogue this week, and she is doing well and possibly maybe be here on Christmas Eve. And so we continue to pray for our shut-in members and all of those who have are traveling, those who are not able to be here with us this week. We know that they are with us in spirit and in prayer. Seeing no other prayer request? Yes. Thank you for reminding me of that. It is beautiful with the flowers here, but also if you see in your bulletin the insert that has the list of who these poinsettias are in dedication of or in honor for, we do remember those people at our time of prayer. And now let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. O Creator and Savior, promise for the world, hear our prayers during this time of waiting. For Lord, we hear your call to journey toward the light, and yet we stumble. Our journey towards your promise of Christ's coming is filled with doubt and pain and often despair that there is meaning in the waiting. Our losses, our worries, they overtake us. Our fears, our concerns, they overwhelm us, so that we dwell in darkness rather than moving toward the light. But we have come today, in the midst of a dark world, seeking your light. Create in us, O Lord, the thread of hope that pulls us forward from promise to the miracle of new life. Create in us a clean spirit so that our journey is no longer weary but filled with energy of adventure. Give us the excitement that children have at this time of year. So as the Christ shall come, so we too come back to you this day. So we pray for you, Lord. We pray for others as well. For those in our life who need your light and who need your direction, we pray that their hearts may be open to you, that their eyes may see your goodness, your greatness, your wonder. For those who have lost themselves, we pray that they may repent, they may turn around and come back to you, just as your Son called people to do from the very beginning. And for those who are with you in spirit but whose body fails them, we pray. For Denise, who is suffering from a heart attack, we pray for her recovery, her healing. We pray that the doctors will find out what is causing her intense stomach pains and alleviate the stress of her body. For Zach, who at only 20 years old is dealing with extremely high blood pressure, we pray also that the doctors will be able to find the medication or the procedure that will alleviate his problem. And Lord, give him rest, help him to relax, give him peace. For those who are sick and under the weather, battling flu or other illnesses, we pray. In particular, we lift up Jesse Zitney into your care. We pray that they may know that you are with them in this time, that your strength will be there for them when they are weak, that we are united with them in prayer, in spirit, together throughout, through these walls. We pray, Lord, also for Kelly. We know that her family, we know that she has such a difficult ordeal and has been in the middle of it. We pray that you will bring her through to a happy ending. But we know, Lord, that if she is with you, that all things, that she needs fear and no things because she is with you and that you are in control of all things. We pray for her healing and well-being. We pray for her doctor's wisdom. Above all, we pray for her family's comfort and hope as they wait and wait and wait. And Lord, we give you thanks, for you have given us so much. You have given us this wonderful place to worship you in. We have given us the word of your Son and the examples and life of Jesus Christ. You have given us your Holy Spirit. You have given us light and life, and we celebrate it. The gift of Butch returning to his family at Christmas time. The gift of Jody being almost completely healed. The gift of women coming together to study your word from all churches and supporting one another, knowing that they are all part of your kingdom. The gift of a father who has been away at work coming home in time for Christmas. And the gift of these flowers, which themselves remember and honor the gift of individuals that you have given us. We thank you for it all. For you are the great creator and source of all good things. You are the Savior and one who brings us to a wonderful, glorious ending. And in between, you are the sustainer, the spirit that is with us each day as we wait for the coming of your kingdom. But not wait passively. Wait to see what we may do. What light we may bring or shine. What gift we may offer to help put it into place. The grand kingdom that you have designed, but that you have called us to help you build. We wait for it, even as we help to make it be. In your name we pray. Amen. And now, instead of the junior sermon, we have a special treat for you today. Janice Simpson and Cheryl Keller will be leading the Kids Club Choir and the Junior Choir in some songs that they've been working on presenting for you. Will the children come forward? As they're getting ready, let us take a moment and show some appreciation for all of the teachers, especially Cheryl, who has put together the music for this semester. Let's welcome and congratulate her. Thank you. while they're getting ready, I just want to let you all know that we've got a great semester of Kids Club, and we have one more Kid of the Week to announce, and the Kid of the Week this past week was Charlotte. Charlotte Stillwell.
Thank you.
second scripture lesson today comes with the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 57 to 79, and that is found on page 57 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Here comes the reading. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives has this name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What will this child become? For indeed the hand of the Lord is with him." Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy: "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of the hardest parts about Christmas as a child is to wait. It is enough to drive a person crazy, and it almost always does. My brother called last night after my kids went to a Christmas concert with their grandparents, where you can imagine they had enough sugar to last them a week. And as he called me on the phone, he said, "What is that? What's going on in your house?" And I said, "It's Christmas. It's Christmas. It's like 5 days before Christmas, and my son just had his birthday, and they're insane. They can't wait." There is a musical rendition of the movie The Christmas Story, and it's very enjoyable. My favorite song from the musical is the one that goes, "It's almost nearly getting close to counting down to Christmas. It's only 34,068 minutes away." And that's exactly how I felt when I was my children's age. I mean, not only was it fun to count down to Christmas, but it got fun counting down to the time when you could count down to Christmas. It's hard to wait for Christmas, which makes any additional waiting on Christmas Day simply unbearable. Once the presents are opened, any fights with unraveling the packaging or any assembly that is required, it's simply too cruel. So many Christmas mornings were spent with me yelling at my dad to read the instructions faster, or really just forget the instructions altogether and put it together now. Because my dad was supposed to know exactly how it was all supposed to be done without reading anything. Because I couldn't wait anymore. I could not wait one more second. But one Christmas, I received a rubber dinosaur about this big. And on the packaging, it was said that if you put it in water, it will grow to 200 times its size. And I was so excited. The thought, the idea of putting this thing in my bathtub and then seeing a giant dinosaur just grow out of the bathtub was so exciting that I couldn't wait, so I immediately went and filled the tub with water, and I threw it in there, and I looked at it, and it did nothing. Did nothing. The next day, we left the water in the tub. The next day, it had doubled in size. That's it. Well, first off, somebody was going to have to take a shower in my house. And second off, I could not wait any longer. And I simply didn't have that kind of time when I was 10 years old. And I still don't. So I think I left it in there for a little bit, and then when it didn't grow much bigger, I took it out. I might have thrown it away, or I might have put it in the bottom of my toy box never to play with again. I did not have time to wait to watch that thing grow. After you spend 365 days of your life waiting for something to happen, you can't spend 1 minute more waiting for that thing to happen again. Much like the fig tree that doesn't bear fruit, I cut it down and I moved on with my busy life. And I have since grown and I have matured and changed my attitude about a great number of things, and I can say without reservation that one of the hardest parts of Christmas as an adult is to wait. Now I buy the gifts, and I cannot wait for them to be opened. I just sent out my brother's Christmas present, and I am very pleased with it, and I think he's going to like it a lot. I look forward to getting the call from my brother on Christmas Day telling me what a great brother I am because I sent the best present ever, and really, isn't that what Christmas is all about? Buying presents for people so they can tell you how great you are and how thoughtful you are for picking out the best present. That's what it's all about, isn't it? I can't wait for Christmas Eve. The service, the lights, all of you and more gathered here to worship together, and I can't wait with the family that the dinner we go to with our old family friends. And I get to see my niece and from California. I can't wait for it. And I still like the presents. And I can't wait to get some. There is no doubt that waiting is always hard, no matter how old we get. And if patience is a virtue, one that I would love to learn one day, I fear that it would just take too long. And I just don't have that kind of time to spend learning to be patient. So for instant Christmas gratification, I turn to the true meaning of Christmas. Because the best kept secret of Christmas is that even as we talk about waiting for the Christ child and waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ, we know that he's already come. We know the thing that we're waiting for has already been given to us. And we can unwrap it at any time. Each Christmas we celebrate a gift that has already been given, unwrapped and ready to use. But even there is a catch. For the gift of Christ has been given, a child given to us and found in a manger. And Christ told us that it pleases God to give us the kingdom. And he brought it near. But the gift has not been fully assembled. Let us think of the Christ child as the box in which the gift was in. And it has been opened, but it has not been put together yet. And that's a pretty big catch. It would be as if someone promised you a car for Christmas, and then you woke up on one snowy, picture-perfect Christmas morning to see scattered out on your front lawn every single part of that car right there before you. And all you had to do was put it together, and you could drive off in a brand new Bentley. What a great present that would be, right? Except for most of us, and probably all of us, that would be useless. But in actuality, that would be better than what God has given us, the kingdom, because at least in theory, it would be possible for a human being to put that gift together. But we have been promised a gift that we can help put together, but which ultimately we can only build a very small part. The rest must be done by God in God's time. And so we wait. We wait for the fruition of Jesus Christ. We wait for the fruition of the kingdom to be built. We wait for things to be done on earth as they are in heaven. And so we confess that one of the hardest parts of Christmas as a Christian is to wait. But that is what we must do. And this is nothing new. It took a long, long time for even Jesus Christ to come. We know as we go through the Bible that 2/3 of the Bible is the Old Testament and 1/3 the New. And that Old Testament covers at least 2,000 years of history. Well, at least 1,500 years of history. In the prehistory before that. And so people meant it when they sang, "Come, O come, Emmanuel." When they sang, "Come, O long expected Jesus." Because he was expected for a long time. If we take the promise that we hear in Samuel that Bill read for us earlier today, that the throne of David would last forever, that promise was made in David's reign about 1,200 years before Jesus' birth. The idea of the Messiah began to be given to the people of Israel when they were in exile. That was about 500-600 years before Jesus' birth. This is how long they had been waiting. And when he came, finally, hardly anybody knew or cared that he was here or what he did. And it took 30 years after he was born for him to really get going. And for most part in our Bible, we give the birth narrative, one or two stories of when he was about 8 years old, and then they just fast forward until he's about 30 and gets baptized. We don't really know what he does for 20-some years. Maybe he did nothing of consequence, at least not as far as the gospel is concerned. So even when Jesus came, it took a while before he really started to show the promise that was there in that manger. But then he got going and he started to preach the word and he started to do a lot of great things and miracles and signs. But think of how few people really got to experience it. For he lived in a very small, sparsely populated country. He traveled no more than about 100 miles from his birth in all of his life. 99.9% of the world at that time had no contact or knowledge of him. He died on a cross, seemingly a failure, another Christmas gift broken and forgotten about. And then even with the news of his resurrection, it took a long time for this word to spread. It spread slowly but surely, but it took a while. It took a while for people to learn of the story of his resurrection and to believe it. It took a while for the church to be established and then to move to the ends of the earth. And keep in mind, at this point, all those people didn't even know that our country, our continent, even existed. And so it took a while. And 2,000 years later, now we sit and the church is established all over the world. We sit here for the 2,000th time or so, wishing for peace on earth and goodwill to all as promised to us in the Gospels. We have had to wait for a long time now. And the things that are promised at Christmas, the things that were promised with the birth of the Christ child, largely still have not happened. At Christmas time, we hear the greatest hits of scriptural promises. We hear Mary's Magnificat, in which she proclaims that Christ will scatter the arrogant and proud, and he will lift up the lowly. Today we heard God's promise to King David, that David's house and kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. And then we hear what Zechariah had to say about Jesus, first about his son John, who would lead the way to Jesus, and said he will give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now, on some level, these things have been done. There have been times when the actions or the words of Jesus Christ or someone acting upon them or inspired by them have resulted in the arrogant and proud being scattered. But I do see the arrogant and proud quite often. And sometimes I have even found myself in their company. Certainly, there have been many instances of people acting on behalf of Christ to lift up the lowly. But more often than not, the lowly look more downtrodden than uplifted to me, and sometimes I have found myself in their company. And certainly the world is a lighter and more peaceful place because of Christmas. But darkness and war and violence and killing still remain. And sometimes cruelty and violence and war have been committed in the name of Christ. So clearly, the full gift of the kingdom of God, it has not been achieved yet. It has not yet come. It has not yet been assembled. We're still messing with the instructions. We are still wrestling with what they say and what they mean and how to do what they say and mean. And we have had to wait for the full realization, the complete assembling of the kingdom of God that Christ brought with him. And we may not see it in our lifetime. But there are two things we must keep in mind while we wait. One, we will see it. Whether we see it in this world or the next, we will see it. The promise is made, and I believe the promise is true. God has given us a sampling of what is to come, and if we are fortunate, we see a lot of good things. Every time love is shared, forgiveness exchanged, the needs of others are met, we get a vision. It's like looking at the box when you're trying to put together the Barbie's dream house, or when you're trying to put together a jigsaw puzzle. You get a vision of what it's going to look like when we get it all put together. And hopefully that vision will not only keep you until that time has arrived, hopefully that vision will inspire you to put the next piece together. Two, we aren't the only ones who wait at Christmas. God is waiting too. And I want to emphasize this. Waiting for our hearts to be open fully and completely. Waiting for us to share the light of Christ to a dark world. Waiting for us to prepare a world that will receive his son this time rather than reject him as they did before. We must wait for the gift to come to fruition, but we must not be passive. Because I believe the gift will come to fruition much faster if we act. We have been waiting a long time for all the gifts of Christmas to be fully unwrapped, and we are impatient, but God has been waiting much longer, and God is much more patient than we ever could be. Praise be to God. As I've grown older, I have learned the virtues of delayed gratification, the ability to put something off until later so that its pleasures may be enjoyed, not just for a moment and forgotten about, but so that it can be savored and cherished and so that it will last. And the gift of the kingdom that God gives to us, it is delayed, but it will be delayed only so long as we continue to focus on ourselves rather than God and each other. It will be delayed so long as we continue to study war rather than peace. It will be delayed so long as we keep grudges and hold on to hurts instead of forgiving and loving. But when we're ready, when the world is ready, when God is ready, the kingdom will come. Surely it will come, and I promise you all that it will be worth the wait. As our gratification has been delayed a bit, let us not delay God's gratification any longer. Let us, in this time of Christmas, above all times, let us welcome Christ into your life today. And I know that most of you, if not all of you, have done so before, but let us do it again every day. Follow the light and walk the path that leads to peace, and find that your heart is another piece of the kingdom slowly but surely snapping into place. My thoughts and prayers are with you. My joy is with you at this wonderful time. May your Christmas be filled not just with presents but the tree, but the presence of Christ in your heart, your homes, and your life. Amen. Now the community comes together around the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. As we sing our communion hymn number 147, Away in a Manger, sing verses 1 and 2. Story again, there are things that jump out at me that I don't always notice. I like the fact that when Zechariah was told that his wife Elizabeth was going to have a baby, he said, excuse me, how can this be so? And he was struck dumb. And I like that when Mary was told that she would give birth to the Christ child, the Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah, she said, how can this be? And I like the fact that when John the Baptist, as he grew up, he actually had gone through the process of baptizing Jesus, and he saw the dove come out from the sky, and he heard the voice say, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And later on, John the Baptist sent his followers to Jesus to ask him if he was the one to come, or should we wait for another? And why I like this is the fact that these are the great heroes of the biblical story, the people who were chosen for their faith, and yet they didn't always know what was going on. They were confused and had doubts, and still God used them, not only for great things, but really the greatest things. And I think that's important because we are tempted to look back at people like Mary and Joseph and John and think, well, those are wonderful, saintly people, and we can't be like them. But there's nothing that we're told about Mary, that why God chose her, or why God chose anybody. Moses, when you think about Moses, he hadn't done anything great, and he had killed a person, and God used him. If God can use them, why can't God use us? And I think it's important, too, because as we gather at this table, we know that we don't know how things are going to unfold in our life. But we have the story. We have an advantage that those people did not. We know the story of the gospel. We know how the Bible ends. We know the story of Easter as we celebrate Christmas. And yet, sometimes still, too, we have doubts. As we come to this table, we lift up all things to God, our thanksgivings and praises, our prayers and concerns. We also lift up our doubts. And we remember that eventually, as Mary was told again by the angel what was to happen, she said, "May it be according to your word," which the great theologian Henry Nouwen said could be translated as, "I don't know how this is going to be, but I trust that I place it in your hands." And in the end, that's really all that we're asked to do. We don't have to know or understand everything, and really we can't. As human beings, we can't fully understand the mind of God. But that's okay, because God's mind is much greater than our own, and what we are simply asked to do is to believe that God is in control and has not just our best interests at heart, but all of the best interests at heart. And then to trust and to place our lives into God's hands. As we gather to share this meal, let us do so now. Let us open our hearts to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us offer up all that we are, good and bad, to Him, knowing that He knows already. And let us say, "I don't understand everything in this world, but I trust that you do." And simply ask Him for direction and guidance. And now this morning, let us pray.
Come to this table overflowing with love and gratitude. We truly cannot find the words, Father, to express our thanks for the gift of your Son, whose birth, life, death, and resurrection give us the true gift that you want us to have, the gift of salvation. Father, please help us to go out and share that gift with everyone, not only this day or this week, but in all the days ahead. In thy precious name we pray. Amen.
For I hand on to you what was also handed on to me, that on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup. And after having poured out, he said, "This is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And now the community responds to the Word of God. If you wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward, not as we sing, but as Armando sings, as he sings our invitational hymn, Ven a mi casa esta Navidad. And as you'll see in your bulletin, there are the lyrics printed in English and in Spanish, so you can follow along. Come on down, Armando.
Que estás lejos de tus amigos, de tu tierra y de tu hogar, y tienes pena, pena en el alma, porque no dejas de pensar. Tú que noche no puedes dejar de recordar, quiero que sepas que aquí en mi mesa para ti tengo un lugar. Por eso y muchas cosas más, ven a mi casa esta Navidad. Por eso y muchas cosas más, ven a mi casa esta Navidad. Tú que recuerdas quizá a tu madre o a un hijo que no está, quiero que sepas que en esta noche Él te acompañará. No vayas solo por esas calles queriéndote aturdir. Ven con nosotros y a nuestro lado intenta sonreír. Por eso hay muchas cosas más, ven a mi casa esta Navidad. Por eso y muchas cosas más, ven a mi casa esta Navidad. Tú que has vivido siempre de espaldas, sin perdonar ningún error, hoy es momento de reencontrarnos. Ven a mi casa, por favor. Ahora es tiempo de que hablemos, pues nada sucedió. En estos días todo se olvida y nada sucedió. Por por eso y muchas cosas más. Ven a mi casa esta Navidad, por eso y muchas cosas más. Ven a mi casa esta Navidad, por eso y muchas cosas más. Ven a mi casa esta Navidad, por eso y muchas cosas más. Ven a mi casa esta Navidad.
Thank you again, Armando, for sharing your gifts and for everyone who shares their gifts in any way. And now, before we bow our heads for